Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Alfred, if you and Roger would pass out this information tonight, we're going to share that first. We'll let everybody get it in your hands, and then we'll dive right in. While they're doing that, take your Bibles and turn with us to 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. We're going to read 4 or 5 verses tonight, and let that be our springboard for what we want to share. I don't know that I'm going to preach exactly. Don't know that I'm not. I'm just going to try to obey God and share this. God opened our heart to this on Monday, and to be quite honest, I was unaware of it, and probably my fault, but I simply didn't know about it, and found out on Monday, and God gave me a burden very quickly about this, and I shared it Monday night with the men, and several have taken it to their own churches and are going to try to work to share this as well tonight and Sunday in their own churches. But I want to thank God, first off, for the privilege to stand. I believe God's trying to work, and I am so grateful for that. Grateful because I've been praying for it. Now, I said this on Monday night. I don't know who all's been praying and what your prayer has been for, but when we meet on Monday night, I am praying for my country. If something don't happen, if God don't intervene, friend, we're lost. This country is lost. Our enemies stand at our borders waiting to attack. We're as weak as we've ever been as a nation. The ungodliness and the wickedness abounds on every hand and at the highest levels of our government. And I'm praying for revival. I'm praying that God would help us and not ultimately put us into that place where judgment comes. Yes. Listen, if you go back into the Old Testament, you'll find that God warned them and he warned them and he warned them. But ultimately, judgment came. And we don't have to end up in that kind of judgment. But it'll take God to save us now. That needs to be clear. We cannot do it ourselves. There is no president can do it. The House or Senate can't do it. The state leadership can't do it. The only one that can save us now is Christ. Yeah. Otherwise, we are lost to this. And I have a desire in my heart, if I don't do anything else before I die, I want to know that I spent my life praying so that my children's children will have a place that they can worship God. A place that they can go and worship God and serve him freely. But there's a price to freedom. Always has been. It has not changed. The only problem with democracy is that if at the helm of it is corrupt leaders, it will not work. And that's why we're crumbling as a nation. What we're trying to attempt tonight is probably what we should have been doing in the 90s, maybe before that. But I thank God. I have tried to thank God for what he's trying to do. You do realize that Roe v. Wade was overturned this year. Amen, amen, amen. That doesn't move you? It ought to. For it's the killing of these unborn babies, that in part that will be judged for. The sexual perversion of this nation is out of control, and we're going to be judged for it. The wicked use of alcohol and drugs and pornography in this country is out of control, and we're going to be judged for it. The lackadaisical and apathetic attitudes of men and women that claim to be born again believers in Jesus Christ who do not serve him, do not love him, do not care for his church. It's out of control. And I don't know if you care enough or want to pray, but I believe that God is trying to move in this country as we speak. He's trying to wake us up and to help us get to the place that we'll do the work. And that we'll call out to God for help. Now, I still believe God will help us. Yeah. Amen. You say, why do you believe that? Because the Bible says he will. Yep. And it says that his mercies, plural, his mercies are new every morning. And I believe we can call upon the mercies of this God who has been willing every day of my life to forgive me when I met the conditions. There is nothing that he cannot do. And if you're discouraged tonight and you think it need just be we give up, I hope by the end of this service you'll change your mind and you'll make a commitment to God. It will cost you to make this commitment. But there ain't anything you've ever had that was worth having that didn't cost you something. Yeah. That's true. And I believe God's asking us for that. Yeah. I'm going to share my heart from the scripture, but I want to preface what we're doing here. What was handed to you is a resolution that was brought by the House of Representatives of the state of Tennessee and multiple senators. And ultimately before Governor Lee, and he signed that resolution into law on April 16th. An unprecedented law was signed into place for the state of Tennessee. It is the first state to do such a thing. And this law is basically a law for prayer and fasting for a period of 1 month as we seek God's help to save our state and our country. And I thank God, this is what I've been praying for. Yeah. Is that somebody in leadership in our country would stand up with a backbone and say, we cannot save it. The House of Representatives of the state of Tennessee and the senators have made it clear we cannot save our state nor America. Our only hope is God. Amen. And that's what this is about. I have printed for you the 3-page document. I'll read it here in a moment. But you're welcome to take it with you. We'll make more copies if we need to. Give it to everybody that you can to engage. Anyone that is willing to engage in a spiritual battle of prayer and fasting as we align with the leadership of our state. And we try to keep this law of prayer and fasting in seeking God. Now we'll read about what it says here, and I'm so grateful for these men. I sent the senators and the House of Representative member that put this bill before the before our leadership this year, and saw it come to pass. I sent them a note this week and prayed for them, thanked them for their courage and boldness and willingness to stand and do something for God. And I was overwhelmed when I found out that it was almost in a majority vote. Even in a bipartisan House and Senate in the state of Tennessee, it was almost a majority vote. I wish it had been unanimous, but it was close. And I don't know how you explain that. You understand what I'm saying? They can't align on paving a highway. And yet somehow God has got the attention. And at least within the state of Tennessee, and I hope many states to follow, there are men and women that have stood and said, we can't do this without God. We have to have help. And that's who we're calling on, is God. 2 Chronicles, would you stand with me? We'll stand for just this reading. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. Begin at verse number 11. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house. and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray for the unction of the Holy Spirit. We need your help tonight. We need you to move in our soul, God, to provide such convictions as has led and guided the men and women that have stood to see this resolution passed as law and have established an unprecedented time frame for prayer and fasting to go up unto thee, beseeching you, Father, for your help. We cannot save ourselves. There is no hope, Father, but you, for our children and their children. The doors of this church to be opened is only if you help us and save us, Father, from the wicked and ungodly things that are going on today. I pray, Father, that as you continue to move in our governments all across this land, raise up men and women with a courage and a boldness to stand, that we might bring to you honor and glory, and that you would hear our cry and our petition for help. We're desperate for you, Lord. You only are our hope. We pray these things, believing them, as we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Solomon had not experienced what some would experience after him. And yet we have both accounts. What Solomon understood was that there was a need, and that need was God alone. You can build the houses, and you can have the sacrifices, and you can do all those wonderful things. But if God ain't helping you, you'll not make any difference. And what Solomon understood is he needed help from God. And his desire was that God would help him. And so he did all he could do. You see, that's where we miss the mark. We haven't done everything we can do. We have not committed ourselves to the point that we'll fast. We'll give up something. We'll yield ourselves to the afflictions of our own flesh that we might be brought low and humble before God, that our prayers might become fervent and our petitions unto him are fervent. We can do the work today, but we have to make up our minds, as Solomon did, to spare no expense, to go the extra mile, to do everything we can do. Now is not the time to sit down. The church in this country has sat down for the last 40 years, and it's time that we stood up. It's time that we got right with God, that we began to search our own hearts and see where the sin is and let God remove it as we repent of it and turn from it and see if God won't help us as a nation. Now, I happen to believe that it's God's will to save us. I believe that because I also believe that the United States of America is still the most important country in this world because of the gospel message, because of the missionaries that are sent, because of the Bibles that are printed and shipped all over the world, because of the churches that are open and a freedom there to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, I believe God wants to see this thing continue. Now, I don't have any idea when He'll wrap this thing up, and it certainly feels like we're near the end. But I want you to know that if the Lord Jesus comes tomorrow, I want Him to find me working in the field. I want Him to know that my Bible is open, my heart is open, and my life is surrendered unto Him, and everything in my life is His for the disposal and use of His glory and honor. For right now, what stands in jeopardy is the freedom of worship and the freedom of lifting up a Savior to a lost and a dying world. This country has been a country that stood for the things that were based upon the principles of a God, a friend that is Creator and King of all kings. Friend, He is worth serving today. Amen. And this country needs to wake up. It'll be woke up by the men with a backbone to stand behind a pulpit and preach the gospel truth without sugarcoating it or compromising. It'll be changed by men and women just like you that assume the responsibility and the affliction of fasting as we go to God in earnest prayer, seeking His help and guidance in all of these things. As you do this, we will see the result. We'll see the power of God revealed not only in our own lives, but in our homes, in our churches, in our state, and in our country. I believe we're seeing the effects of that now. Not only are we a little small group of men and women praying on Monday nights, but I believe these little groups are being carried out all over this country on different days. There are people that are calling unto God in their closet time as they seek God's help for this land. There are people that are discerning and recognizing that God is the only one that can help us now. And friend, now's not the time to lay down. Now's the time to enlist, to join arms with your brother and your sister in Christ, to put aside your petty, unnecessary differences and love your neighbor to the point that you'll lift them up before God at any cost, that you'll stand for something and mean something in this world. I think God wants to do something, and we will be a part of it. Thank God, thank God. What you hold in your hand is an answer to prayer. I'll confess that I never believed it would happen. To my own discredit, you see. That's the problem. We're going to have to believe God to do great things. But I stand before you today and declare that this is a grand and a glorious thing. I don't know the hearts of any of these men, but I know what's written. I know what they've put forth. And I know the honesty of these words, and what they have put forth, friend, is a declaration that we are beyond rescuing by any economy, any gold, any president, any body of jurisdiction. There is no one that can save this country but Jesus Christ. And I believe that God can do things that you've never imagined. I see it right now. I am witnessing it in my own heart. I tried to find it again today, and I believe they took it off of YouTube just so people couldn't watch it. But I don't know if you've seen it, but the majority speaker, House Speaker Mike Johnson, I don't know if you remember, but it had a YouTube there on him. He was on his knees in front of his desk at Congress, and he was praying unto God. He was repenting unto God. He was telling God how terrible we've been. It sounded like Daniel praying in chapter number 9 of Daniel. He was calling out unto God to save us. And I thought, God put a man, amen, right at the head of the Congress, friend, that'll do something. And I don't have any doubt, if God puts a man in the presidency, He can save that man. Imagine what would happen if we got a born again believer in the White House. Say, it can't happen. This couldn't either. This ain't possible. It's not possible to have a bipartisan vote and declare this is unprecedented. You realize that there have been multiple presidents that have declared days of prayer and fasting one day. You know what our leadership's asking us to do? 30. I love the hound out of that. Huh? You mean to afflict myself for 30 days and cry out unto God? Yep. Thank God, thank God. And they passed it as a law. I don't know what God will do, but I'm telling you right now, what God can do is save America. And we need His help today. We cannot do it. We cannot do it. This document's divided up into two parts, as most resolutions or bills or resolutions are. You start with the problem, and that's what this leads out is the whereas. The whereas part is basically them declaring the things that are happening in our country and to our state and to our citizens that we're tired of happening. And the last part of it is the resolution. The things that we're going to resolve to do for the next 30 days as we petition God's help for this great thing. Now, there were men and women before you and me, long time before you and me now, that when this need was in a desperate place, they volunteered, they stood up, and they went wherever they were told, and they fought for something that they believed in. There's a simple challenge tonight. And there's something fundamentally wrong with our Christian faith if we don't sign up to this. Yeah. Amen. There's something wrong with us if we don't sign up for this lock, stock, and barrel. But there have been men and women died for you. Since they fought for our independence and signed that declaration in 1776 and put their names on the dotted line and said, if it costs my wealth, if it costs my very life, I sign my name to this declaration that we will fight for this country. If this country goes down, we go with it. And I'm grateful to God that He's trying to do something. I believe God's in the middle of this and He's trying to do something and we'll be a part of it. Now each one of us have to personally make a commitment. And I'm going to teach on that quickly tonight, but I hope that you'll work this out with God and begin immediately. This started on Monday, July 1st, and it'll run to the end of this month. But I'm grateful to be a part of the state of Tennessee, at least at this point, that have made a declaration in law that we're going to believe and ask God for our help. We're going to call on Him. Turn with us tonight. You're a note taker. Follow along. James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4, verse number 6. James 4 and 6. I want to give you the Word of God first, right? Because what's more important than a resolution is the Word of God. So let me give you the Word, and then we're going to line this document up to the Word of God, not the other way around. So that's why we're starting with the Word tonight. James chapter number 4, verse number 6. But He giveth more grace. Somebody say amen for that. Thank God, thank God. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. God help us. Amen. Right out of the gate, we got to establish the problem. Your pride and self-life, friends, going to keep you from being effective in this war that we're in. If you live for yourself, you'll be of no use in this battle. But if you can lay down yourself on that altar before God as a living sacrifice, and if you can yield yourself as is your reasonable service unto God to be crucified to self, and then stand up in the power of the Holy Ghost that is in you, God can give grace here. God can give grace. We need grace. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves. Second time he's mentioned that one. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, we find in that passage, I'm not going to try to preach it. I've got too much to get to tonight. But you've got the word. I hope you made note of it. If you didn't grab a hold of it, take it home and consume it again and again until your heart gets it. But wrapped up in that little thought was, is that if we'll humble ourselves, there's grace for us. And I'll tell you what that grace will do for you. It'll take you right into the place of heart and mind that you're able to submit yourself, therefore, unto God. You're able to resist the devil and see him flee from you. You'll be able to experience what it's like to draw nigh to God and recognize his drawing nigh unto you. He'll give you a heart to cleanse your hands and to purify your hearts before God to truly repent and get right with God. Listen, grace will do all of that for you and I if we'll but humble ourselves and seek his will. Friend, God wants to make this real in your life and mine. Say, preacher, I think I can do it for 30 days. Amen. I hope you will. That's the minimum request. What I'm praying for is that this becomes a lifestyle. Amen. That we begin to learn as men and women of God that he is approachable, that he will do things that you can't imagine above and beyond what you could have ever thought. God can still do. He is the creator. He has every right and authority as king and creator of all this world to do whatever he wants to do. And he just so happens to be my father. And friend, he listens when I call his name. And he, friend, comes and hears when we pray. God will help us. How do you know? He said he would. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And what did he say he would do? He shall lift you up. I'll tell you right now, until he lifts us up, we better get prepared to stay down. Stay down. Get into this battle and begin to fight. God has equipped you. You are not ill-equipped for this work. God has already, through the power of the Holy Ghost, given you all the armor, given you all the weapons, given you every defense. Friend, God has already provided what we need. What we're missing is willing servants. People that are willing to bear that armor. And to step into that place where battle occurs. Say, preacher, if I get into the battle, I'm liable to get hurt. Yep. You do understand that's what your Bible says. I don't know that you're surprised about that. Surely you've read the Bible. When you stand for God, there is a price. Because this world is filled with the wickedness of our enemy, and he'll do everything he can to stop you. But I'll declare unto you that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's my God. And it's time that we grew a backbone, and that we stand up and be men and women of faith. Act like the spiritually mature Christians we say we are. And take on, amen, with a confidence, the wicked, ungodly things of this world. I'll tell you right now, this is an impossibility, and yet we hold it. We hold it in our hands, signed into law. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Verse number 25 and 26. We have a responsibility to do this. In meekness, we are to instruct them that oppose themselves. You realize that many of the body of Christ today are in a place where they are opposing themselves. They know right, they won't do right. They know truth, they won't live truth. They know that God will forgive them, but they won't repent. In meekness, the product of your humility that'll bring you before God to pray and fast for this country and this state and our homes and our churches. That same humility will create for you a meekness, a compassion, that when you see your neighbor who is in the ditch and needs some help, we are willing to instruct them that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance. Let me make a statement here in case you missed that, but it is God that brings a man to repentance. It is the Holy Ghost and the work of his conviction power that brings a man to a broken and a contrite spirit where godly sorrow can have its perfect work. God still wants to give repentance in our people. But how willing are we to instruct them that oppose themselves in meekness and compassion and love and humility to reach out to those around us that are struggling? And listen, you say, why even bring them up? Because we need help. Let me tell you something. The one that's got, at least in the world's economy, the one that's got the most men's the ones that typically win. May I say to you today, that's not the way God works. It doesn't matter whether there's few or many with God. He can do it with or without you. But I want you to know, the more we have, the better off we'll be if they're crying out unto God and they're seeking his will. Listen, you say, preacher, I don't know if I can sign up for this. I don't know if you can either. Because I'll tell you right now, it ain't half in and half out. You're either going to have to sell out to God and give your life over to the work of Jesus Christ in this present world, or you're going to have to make a choice for him, because God takes all or nothing today. Instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Oh, I'd like to see that, wouldn't you? Oh, how I'd like to see the church of God today. We're not the only ones with problems, people. No, every church has this problem. It is a result of these last days and the last 40 years of men and women of faith sitting down on God, scooting up to the table and enjoying the goodness of God. Yep, we've got fat on his goodness, there's no question about it. But when it comes to the work, very few have been willing to step out into the world, to the field, and do something for God. We're too busy, amen. We blame it on our jobs, we blame it on our health, we blame it on this, or we blame it on that. Listen, the day for excuses is gone. I want you to know that there are some real reasons that this is important. Amen. I may not see the saving of America in its completion. I may not, and then again I may. But I want you to know, there are some that if God doesn't come back sooner, there are some that I love dearly, your children, my children, I want them to have a place where they can walk in and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached, to experience the freedom of knowing the Holy Ghost without fear of retribution. I want to know, friend, that they have a place where they can come and be born again. It's worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for. Some of you live so shallow that making a commitment startles your faith. We live on the surface, pedaling around in the shallow water as if we a marathon swimmer, acting like we have courage, acting like we could brave the storm and swim the river and its depth, while we sit around in the shallow part and the water to our ankles. Them days are over, friend. They're over. You say, preacher, it'll be all right. No, all you got to do is read your Bible. You ever heard what happened to Israel when they came in and took over the land, destroyed the people, women cooking their babies to eat, because they were starving to death at the hand of a merciless enemy that did not care for them, all because they would not heed to the call of God. You'll pray now, or you'll pray then. You'll call on God then when the only hope for you not starving to death is to eat one of your own. That's what they did. And all the while, Jeremiah the prophet weeping, his tears running from his face like a river, and him crying out to him, begging him to get right with God and to call on God, and they would not. Lamentations chapter number 3. Lamentations chapter number 3. Verse number 22 and 23. Lamentations 3, 22. Listen to what this says. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. You know why we're here right now? Strictly the mercy of God. Amen. He had every right years ago to destroy this country, to overrun it with its enemy, to enslave us, and to take everything we had and put us in bondage to another nation. He had every right to allow that to happen. But God has been merciful up to this point. God has been merciful. His mercies, multiple mercies, have been in play. God, I love that. The Bible said it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. May I say today that our God isn't the problem today. It's me and ye. The question is, will we assume this responsibility as men and women of faith? Will we put on the whole armor of God and start doing what he's called us to do? Will we take on the challenge, friend, to fast and pray and seek God for these better resolutions as we want and hope and desire to see this nation saved, this state saved, our church saved, our home saved? It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. The only reason we're still here today is because of God's mercies. Now, I'm going to turn that around. You say, why is that important? If God wasn't willing to help us, he would not have endured the wicked corruption of this nation to this point. God wasn't willing to assist us. My goodness, how patient he has been with us. Amen. I'm going to exclude the lost. They're blind. They don't know no different. You do. I do. And yet how many times we pray in a week? How many times we're on our face weeping and seeking God from your prayer closet, your private place, that place where no one else knows what you're saying? How many times are we bending our hearts and our knees, rending not our clothes, but rending our heart before God as we cry out and beseech him for mercies again? It's only by the mercies of God that we were not run over by an enemy on this very day. God has protected the United States of America even from its wicked self. God help us, we have to do something. Thank God he's trying, he's trying. Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 13, verse number 11. Romans 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time. Surely there's no doubt in your heart that we have to move now. It is time, it is time. It is time. Tomorrow is too late. Romans 13:11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time that we awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Drop down to 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what he said next. and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. It's time. It's time. If I could have called a church service Monday, I would have. But we were already going to one. And we started there. And I'm sharing it now. And I will do this again, if you'll let me, on Sunday, as we get a larger audience. But it is time. It's high time. Or in other words, it's past time. The night is far spent. We have very little time left. And yet I believe the mercies of God are in play. You hold in your hand tonight the mercy of God. Only the Holy Ghost of God could have instructed men and pulled that off. And I'm praying that He's going to do that in every state in this country. I don't know how He'll do it, but I'm praying that He'll do it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1. We're going to get to the resolution in a minute, but first the Word. We got to line up with it, the Word, not the other way around. 1 John 1, verse 9. You know the scripture. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God has promised us that if we would confess our sins. Listen, some of you ain't going deep enough to get your sin dealt with. Because your biggest sin ain't drugs or alcohol. Not the people. Not the biggest sin's your pride. Your self-admiration. Your self-love. Your self-servicing. Our problem ain't the world. Our problem is ourselves. And too few are willing to go deep enough with God to deal with that problem. Because once you're able to get yourself out of the way, guess who gets exalted? Not you. Because until we get ourselves out of the way, you're the hero. You're the Savior. You're the God. Amen, amen. You make yourself a God when you take His place. When you give your affections to the betterment of your own hide instead of Him, you've made a choice and you're an idol worshiper. And that's sin in the eyes of God. But if we'll confess our sins, He said He'd forgive us. That's mercy right there. That is mercy. That is mercy and grace and long-suffering and patience and kindness and love all balled up into one, dumped right up on you. God said He'd forgive us if we'd confess our sins. Well, the problem is we're not confessing them. We're not even admitting them. We're not dealing with them. You come to Bible school, I'm going to teach on that for a while, but know this, we need to get right. If this is to matter or to be effective, we're going to have to get right. 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, He will forgive us. All right, I want to talk now about fasting and prayer. It is the two things that this resolution calls for. It calls for prayer and fasting. Now fasting, we find plenty of examples of fasting in the Old Testament scriptures. And most of the times when somebody truly fasted unto God is when they's in grave trouble. When they had to really, really get serious with God. One of the things that I believe the men of God of old and women were instructed to do was to afflict themselves. Afflict themselves. Now, it's a tricky slope here. Because when we know it is, right? Because Jesus had to deal with it in the book of Matthew. Because the hypocrites loved to fast. Tricky slope. Because in your fasting, down deep, You're saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. And if that's how you fast, might as well not. Because that is hypocrisy. God ain't interested in that. If all you're looking for is somebody to find out you're fasting so you can get a pat on the back and your ego stroked, hear the words of Jesus. You'll get what you're looking for, and that's a pat on the back, but that's all you're getting. We need more. We have multiple examples in the Word of God of men that fasted. I'm going to read one or two. The first one being Nehemiah, chapter number 1. I'm not going to read the whole story, but you know the story. I preached this over and over. But when Nehemiah got word of the condition of the people that were left, the remnant in Jerusalem, and how the walls were torn down, the gates were burned with fire, and there was no gospel there, there was no pulpit nor temple. Here's what it says, Nehemiah chapter 1, verse number 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept. Bothered him, didn't it? Does it bother you today, the condition of our country? Does it bother you to tears? That's what he said. It bothered him so deeply and emotionally, it affected him so greatly that he sat down and he wept. When's the last time you wept for your family, for your church, for your state, or for your country? Just be honest. Just be honest about this. If you ain't mourning over this, you don't understand the gravity of our situation. Amen. If you can't weep over the condition of our country and the fact, listen to me, the fact that at any moment our enemy could cross that border and own us all, you understand what that means. Your freedom gone. Whatever you possess and hold dear, someone else's, and your family but slaves. If you can't cry over that, God help your calloused soul. If the condition of our country cannot make you weep, I suggest you start with dealing with that issue and get to the place that you are moved by the trouble we're in. Because here's what I can absolutely promise you. Without a vision, the people will perish. You understand that? God have mercy on us all. You understand that, Josh? Your children will be the slaves to someone else. You ready for that? I am not ready for that. And I am not willing to stand by when I have a God that can do anything. Over and over he shows us in his word how he repelled, pushed back, destroyed even the foe. And his people never had to even raise a sword. Nehemiah sat down and wept. And the Bible said he mourned certain days. I'm going to tell you again, 30. You hear me? We're establishing a certain number of days this evening. Why? Because some brave men and women with a backbone stood up for God and said, I don't care what America thinks, the state of Tennessee knows we're in trouble. And if we don't call on God, there's no saving us. So for certain days, the leadership of our state government at least has said, we're asking all that are willing to mourn, to cry out unto God and fast. For certain days. He mourned and wept and mourned certain days and fasted. meaning he deprived himself of food. That's what it means. That's the reference. I don't like really the way fasting has changed over the last 20 years, right? People say, I'm going to fast my cell phone. Number one, your cell phone is not a need. Huh? I'm going to fast television. Your television is not a need. You probably ought to throw it out anyhow. We fast what afflicts us. What afflicts what? What afflicts my flesh? And if you're addicted to your cell phone to the point that it is a need in your flesh, you got a different problem. I'm going to quit my marijuana for God for 30 days. You got a different problem. That's what you're saying. I'm going to quit my drug. I'm going to quit what I'm addicted to. You got a different problem. No, what he means is to fast your body from food. Some of you, when you get up of a morning, you eat something. You know what you call it? Breakfast. You fasted all night while you're sleeping. You didn't eat a thing. And when you woke up, you broke the fast. What were you fasting? Food. Because the truth is, ain't one of us in here that don't love food. We built to love food. He put little things on our tongue, make us love it. And then when you breathe in, you love it more. And yet we can do the simplest of afflictions and say, you know what? I'm going to deprive my rotten, hungry flesh one more indulgence. Now, you're going to have to work that out, okay? If you got diabetes, you're going to have to be careful. You can't just fast as maybe others do. But if you don't, you probably ain't hindered at all. As a matter of fact, it ain't a weight loss program, I can assure you. You ain't going to lose weight fasting. But you can get close to God. Say, is it important? Well, it was in the Bible. I don't know why it got unimportant with you or me, but it was important in the Bible. Daniel chapter number 9. Verses 2 through 5. Let me read these three or four verses. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Was Daniel serious? That's what you read. Is that Daniel was serious about this prayer he needed to make before God. What a beautiful prayer it is, by the way. I'm not going to read it all. But I do want you to see what Daniel did. And I want you to recognize that what we're attempting to do, even by the instruction of our state leadership, is to do what men and women before us have done. When it was desperate, when they needed God to answer, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer. Daniel 9, verse 2, 3, 4, 5. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned. And have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled. Even that by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of the sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. All right, take the document that you were given, and I'm just going to read through it for you so that you can hear what it is that men and women of your state have agreed to, and ask all churches, all Christian men and women to engage. House Joint Resolution 803. By the way, the two men that were the primary leaders for this bill was Senator Pody and Representative Fritz. A resolution to seek God's hand of mercy, healing on Tennessee. Here's how it begins. Whereas our state and nation suffer from violence committed upon our citizens by our citizens. And whereas our state and nation suffer from violence committed upon our citizens by non-citizens. And whereas acts of violent crime in our schools are unacceptable. And whereas human trafficking is an unacceptable and violent evil in our state, enslaving lives and violating the core values of our Creator-endowed rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And whereas drug addiction overwhelms our families, our government finances, our workforce productivity, as well as our health care and our law enforcement resources. And whereas deadly fentanyl flows uncontrollably across our southern U.S. border, resulting in the deaths of Tennesseans. And whereas driving under the influence, drunk driving, results in great pain and injury for Tennessee families. And whereas we have approximately 9,000 children in need of foster care, indicating brokenness in many Tennessee homes. And whereas evidence of corruption in our federal government stands to impact every Tennessean. And whereas our national and state founders trusted in the omnipotent hand of providence to guide and bless our land. And whereas over decades these leaders called our people to seek out the Creator's favor by issuing proclamations like the one from John Adams on April 15th, 1799, which says, "This day be observed throughout the United States of America as a day of solemn humiliation and fasting and prayer. That the citizens on that day abstain as far as may be from their secular occupation and devote the time to the sacred duties of religion in public and in private. That they call to mind our numerous offenses against the Most High God, confessing them before Him with the sincerest penitence, imploring His pardoning mercy through the great Mediator and Redeemer for our past transgressions, and that through the grace of His Holy Spirit we may be disposed and enabled to yield a more suitable obedience to His righteous requisitions in time to come. That He would interpose to arrest the progress of that impiety and licentiousness in principle and practice, so offensive to Himself and so ruinous to mankind, that He would make us deeply sensible that, quote, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Proverbs 14:34. "And whereas we hold that our founders correctly acknowledged truth," capital T, "in their words. And whereas we hold that, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." Psalms 127. Verse 1. "Now, therefore, be it resolved by the House of Representatives of the 113th General Assembly of the State of Tennessee, the Senate concurring, that the period of July 1, 2024 through July 31, 2024 be recognized as a time of prayer and fasting in Tennessee. Be it further resolved that we recognize that God, as Creator and King of all glory, has both the authority to judge and to bless nations or states. Be it further resolved that we as public servants in the Tennessee General Assembly seek God's mercy upon our land and beseech Him to not withdraw His hand of blessing from us. Be it further resolved that we recognize our sins and shortcomings before Him and humbly ask His forgiveness. Be it further resolved that we ask the Lord Jesus to heal our land and remove the violence, human trafficking, addiction, and corruption. Be it further resolved that we ask the Holy Spirit fill our halls of government, our classrooms, our places of business, our churches, and our homes with peace, love, and joy. Be it further resolved that we call upon all those who are physically able and spiritually inclined to do so to join in a 30-day season of prayer and intermittent fasting as we begin a new fiscal year as a means of seeking God's blessing and humbling ourselves to receive His grace and mercy, transforming ourselves, our communities, our state, and our nation. Thank God. I told the men on Monday night, there's a couple of whereases they're missing. Okay? But that's just my opinion. They didn't ask my help. But if I was writing this, there's going to be a whereas. The killing of unborn babies or any baby. Is against the laws of nature and God. And we repent of this awful sin. Whereas the sexual perversion and same-sex marriage business is out of control. And we repent and ask God for His mercies upon us. You could probably add another 100 sins to the list, but those two are heinous at best. I'll close with this. By the way, we're going to pray as we dismiss. That's why I didn't pray to start with, because we're going to dismiss tonight in an altar of prayer. And I'm asking that every pew be emptied if it's possible. Because here's what I can tell you. If our enemy runs that border, everybody in this room's affected. And if you happen to be one of them on that day, when all your liberties are taken from you, you will have wished and regret you did not seek God for help. It's high time. Now's the time. We're going to dismiss in prayer, and then I'm going to ask you to keep this law, this resolution that has been established. Pray with it. Take it with you into your private place. Open it up and say, Lord, I'm resolved. Like these men, I'm resolved. For 30 days, we're going to keep this every day. We're going to pray for our state, our country, our churches, and our home as we continually try to get right. And we're going to fast. Now, that fasting, you got to work out. You can ask me, and I'll tell you what I'm doing, but what I'm doing don't matter. What I'm doing is what I worked out with God and what He told me to do. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do as best I can, keep that fast. You need to get your schedule and quickly, because we started Monday and you didn't even know about it. So we started Monday for 30 days. Listen, I am so excited. Look, if he could do this, what could he do if we prayed for 30 days and fasted and really sought God and his help and his revival? Don't tell me you can't do it. Amen. All right. It's time to get serious in behalf of our own church, our own home, our children, our children's children, their future, their freedoms. The leadership of the state of Tennessee is leading the way in the country in this holy cause and effort. And these men and women have boldly and honestly declared that only God can save America now. If you're inclined, you can jot this down, www.prayfortn. Pray, the number 4, tn.us. Some of these senators, representatives, have made a commitment to visit all 95 counties of Tennessee. And they will be holding prayer vigils at each one of these courthouses within the month of July. They will visit Blount County, Tennessee on July 20th. That just happens to be a Saturday at noon. So I hope you'll plan to join me as we are there and we pray with them. And as men and women of this state, we resolve to take it back from the devil. Our enemies wait at the border to attack. Our enemy, the devil, is attacking greater every day. And if my children, their children's children, are experiencing the freedom to worship and serve Jesus Christ that I have, then I have to stand for them. It's mine. They can't stand. Someone had to stand for me. This is an unprecedented resolution, but these are unprecedented times. And our response must be, as a church, as individuals, our response must be consistent and strong. His mercies are new every morning, which means they are manifold, and he gives them willingly. That's why they're new. You don't use the same mercy tomorrow. He gives you a new one. I'll close with this, and then we're going to dismiss in an altar of prayer. Esther chapter number 4. Just going to read 3 or 4 verses. For those of you that ain't read your Bible, the children of Israel were in a pickle. Their enemy Haman had put a decree in front of the king that he signed, which could not be changed. That on a certain day, everybody in the world was to attack the Jews and to take for their bounty whatever they had. And Esther was a Jew. But she also happened to be the queen. By the providence of God Almighty, he put a Jew in the arms of a king. Mordecai, her uncle, sent her word. And he said, you got to go to the king. You've got to speak for this people. And she sent him word back. She said, I can't. I can't do it. You know, if I go before the king unasked or uninvited, I'll be killed. And here's what Mordecai replied. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then there shall be enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. That's faith. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Maybe God raised up Greg Willis to this very point in time that you could stand, take it on the chin for those coming behind you to ensure that they have the freedom to worship. A stand for God that I think God will honor. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. She said, "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me. And neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." They've been better men and women than you and me. But had guts enough to say, "You know what? I'm going to stand for something. And if it costs me everything, so be it. If I perish, I perish. But I'm going to stand for Christ. I'm going to stand for something. I'm going to stand for someone." Pray that God will make the difference. God did make the difference for Esther. And he destroyed all her enemies as well while he was at it. You know why? Because they asked him. They asked him. And he's given us clear instructions that with him there is nothing impossible. "Ask," he said, "and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened." That's his words to us. The problem is not God here. The variable in this whole equation is you and me. And I'm challenging you tonight to join into this resolution, this law for the next 30 days. Pray. Seek God mourning and weeping. Seek God for the behalf of our homes, our church, our state, and our nation. We got a presidential election coming up. Pray. If you think for 1 minute Donald Trump can save America, you're a fool. A fool, hear me, you have no idea what you're talking about. God is the only one that can save us. But hear me, I'd love to see Donald Trump get born again. You're talking about scaring some folks if he ever got Jesus. He'd be dangerous for sure if he ever got Jesus. Amen. That could happen. Who knows whether that's God's plan anyhow. Here's what I can tell you. If you ain't asking God, what do you expect? I'll ask everyone that could. If you can join us today, let's dismiss in prayer.